Got it. If you can't hear me, just raise your hand. I'm a very soft-spoken person generally, so talking into a mic is a really challenging thing for me. Most of you know who I am, and if I have not met you and you don't know who I am, let me introduce myself. Turn it up. Okay, Amanda's saying turn it towards me. Is that good? Can you hear me better? Okay. I'm Angel Fusaro. I've been at Covenant for about 15 years, and Harriet's taken pictures of me. I am the wife of Len Fusaro, and I am the mother of Kaylin and Madison, Kaylin Hamatov now, and Madison Fusaro. I am a registered nurse by profession. I currently work at A Woman's Choice, which some of you might have heard that name recently, thanks to Kate. And I've been grateful for that call in my life of working at a pregnancy crisis center. But what I'm going to kind of, this was a really challenging task for me. When Laura asked me to give my testimony, I immediately said yes. And afterwards, I was kind of like, what did I just do? Honestly, speaking in front of people is a very challenging thing for me. It's very stress-inducing. And I'm a pretty introverted person for the most part, so this is way outside my comfort zone. I'm just going to put my emotions out there. And when she, but that, with that being said, I thought more about it, and I was encouraged by the Holy Spirit to share my story, because this isn't my story, really. It's His story through me. And even though I might think my story is very simple and somewhat nothing really dramatic, it's still His work in my life, and I thought that I would want to share that with you in that alone. So the Lord has been very merciful and kind to me throughout my years. My life was very uneventful for most of my childhood, even though there were certain aspects of my childhood that were very challenging. But He didn't rescue me until I was in my mid-30s. But there was a lot of history led to that point that culminated to that part in my life. Like I said, my story is nothing dramatic, but it's rather a slow evolving story of God's grace in my life from the beginning, both His common grace as an unbeliever and His covenant grace as a believer. The oldest of three girls to a single mother. My parents divorced when I was young. But interestingly enough, I was an unplanned pregnancy. My mother did not think she could get pregnant. And my father and her were just in a very casual relationship, and I came along. My mom will say I was unplanned, but not unwanted. So she was very happy about me. But in 1970, unplanned pregnancies were oftentimes looked down upon and challenged. So she married my father. Out of that, my grandmother was very instrumental in that. She somehow thought that if they didn't get married or likewise have me baptized, that something bad would happen. So they got married, and on Valentine's Day, 1971, I was baptized. I always like to tell this story, not that it's really a jab at the Catholic religion, but my father's family was Catholic. They were Italian. They were first-generation Italian-Americans who came over from Italy. In fact, I still have family over there, interestingly enough. And my mother didn't have a faith. My family was pretty much not churched. Although they had a general belief in God, we had a family Bible that was about this big, and it had, you know, births and deaths and everything recorded in it. I'm actually thinking about it now. I was like, I wonder where that's at when my grandmother passed away. But the Catholic Church wouldn't baptize me at that time, and largely because I was an illegitimate child. I was born out of wedlock. But my mother felt convicted to have me baptized because my grandmother was convinced something horrible was going to happen to me, or if I died, I was going to go to hell. But there was a local Presbyterian church in Gloucester City, New Jersey, that baptized me. So I was baptized, interestingly enough, in a Presbyterian church. That being said, that was the beginning of my life and God's work in my life. It started at a young part of my life. I remember having conversations with God. I remember feeling like there was a relationship there, but not understanding it. There was a lot of different points in my life where I got to go to vacation Bible school at a local church that I grew up in a rural town in South New Jersey, and there might have been maybe 750 people in this town, but there was a Methodist church in town. And so my mother would send me there for vacation Bible school. I would go there for the Christmas pageant. I played Mary in the play one year. I would go there for Easter. And that is where I was first introduced to, interestingly enough, the law. You know, I remember vividly being in vacation Bible school and being taught the Ten Commandments and just being like, wow, I want to be like this. I was a people pleaser. I am still a people pleaser. And by God's grace, I'm working that out. But even then, I was like, wow, I want to please God, but I want to please my mom, more importantly, because my mother was a very important part of my life, by following these commandments. Obviously, I failed over and over and over again. But that was kind of like the beginning. That's where I was also introduced to his birth, his resurrection, and his death in reverse. As I grew into my teen years, I started dating a young guy named Angelo. Yes, we were Angel and Angelo in high school. and his family were Christians. And they were amazingly loving to me through a very challenging time in my life in my high school years. And they just showed it to me in such profound ways, by coming to my softball games, by taking me on trips, by buying me shoes when I needed it. My mother was an involved mother, but she was not always present, and she was working a lot. Being a single mother is often where she wasn't home. So I kind of grew up a lot of times without her being there. My grandmother, interestingly enough, and my grandfather lived next door, and then my aunt, my uncle lived in the next house over. So I had family. I had a lot of extended family. But Angelo's family was just really, really huge part of my walk at that point. I was rebaptized in their pool when I was 16. they were a part of an evangelical free church that's still in Opsecon, New Jersey, and they still attend as far as I'm aware. But after going on to college, Angelo and I, you know, drifted apart. Len was in the picture at this point. Most of you might know Len, but I met Len when I was 13, an interesting story. If you ever want to hear it or haven't heard it, ask me, because it's an interesting one that God obviously designed for us to be together. But there was a lot of heartache in those years. But we ended up back together in my first year of college. He had gotten sick, and right after he had gotten sick, he proposed to me. And I always joke, it's because you thought you were dying. You didn't propose to me because you loved me. You thought you were dying. He had some sinus issues, and he was at Fort Bragg. He was in the Army at the time. And you know, I always joke on him with that. But that moment in time is when I decided to become a nurse, which is kind of interesting. I was an education major at Millersville University in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and thought that's what I wanted to do, but then I had to stand in front of a second grade class, much like this, and didn't like it very much. So I decided education wasn't for me. So I was kind of confused as to what I wanted to do, as most freshmen in college might be. But I had a seventh grade teacher who had, at that point in my life, had said I'd make a good nurse, and I was like, blood, guts, no, I don't want nothing to do with that, and decided that I wasn't sure. But when he went into the Army and had surgery and I got to take care of him, something grew in me as a desire to be a nurse, and at that point I signed up for nursing school and went on. And the rest you can say is history. Nursing, the Lord has used nursing to grow me. To this very day, like I said, I work in a pregnancy crisis center. So that nursing, it continually grows me in my walk with Christ as I submit to his will, but also understand my role in showing love and compassion to others. It's grown me immensely. So after, I'm trying to stay on point because I might go off a little bunny trail. After Len had surgery and stuff, we ended up in a really long engagement. We were engaged for about 3 years because Len's parents did not want us to get married. It was a really difficult time. He was in Fort Bragg. I was in New Jersey. Very long distance relationship. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have FaceTime. We had pay phones, which I had to call over and over and over again because he lived in barracks and you had the phone's busy all the time. So I talked to him very infrequently. It really was a grace that we lasted. But I did break up with him 6 months before we were supposed to get married. Or maybe a little bit longer than that. It was a very confusing time, but he providentially had to come home. His grandmother had passed away the same day I broke up with him. And And he came home, and when he came home, it just solidified my intent on wanting to marry him. But it was just an interesting time. Fast forward 8 years, because there's a lot of stuff that happens in there, and I don't want to keep you here all afternoon. I'm 49 years old. There's a lot of details, and there's not an aspect of my life I do not feel that the Lord has not touched. This was a very challenging thing for me to kind of weed through some of the details, to pick out things that I thought were really instrumental. I wasn't a believer at this point, you know, of my life. I think I was about 29, 30, 31. And we were facing some pretty challenging things in our life. Kaylin was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 3, which proved to be very challenging. My marriage was strained. I'm a people pleaser, but I also sought comfort and things from my husband that he cannot give me, which strained our marriage. And he was working 60 hours a week, and I was at home with a child with type 1 diabetes and an infant. It was just a very difficult time. I was kind of aimless. I was seeking comfort, direction. You know, I really wasn't getting a lot of answers. It was exhausting. I remember those years very vividly. We would take a trip every year to Florida, and part of that was because we went to Disney for our honeymoon. And so every year after that, we really liked the time of year. We loved the weather. We loved everything about Florida in February or March when we would come. And we and we came to Florida. What'd you say? I know, right? We visited a family friend who had been living down here in Winter Garden. And when we went to go visit them, we were like, wow, this is really nice down here, outside of Disney World. I mean, we'd always gone to Disney, been at Disney, never went outside of Disney. So when we went outside, it was like, wow, this is really nice. So we asked them, where in Florida do you feel is most like New Jersey? Because we were from New Jersey, and we were just kind of wrestling with this idea of moving to Florida. And this person said Lakeland. I know you guys all laugh, but Lakeland, Florida is what she said. So on the drive home from Florida to New Jersey, Len and I made a pros and cons list about moving to Florida. My husband likes pros and cons lists. And the cost of living was lower. New Jersey living is very expensive. The pace of life felt slower. And we thought it also be good for Kaylin, because, you know, in New Jersey, between October and March, it's pretty much dark, cold, and you don't go outside. And it was hard for us with her having type 1 diabetes to keep her active, which was a real important part of managing her diabetes. So 8 months later, we moved to Lakeland, Florida. I moved into a house that I never saw. Len came down, made an offer, and I moved in without even seeing it. It was a great house. It was Dr. Lorette DeMola's house in Emerald Ridge. At the time, the price market of the house was really low. But they were a really neat family. And as soon as we came to Lakeland, Florida, Len will tell this story, we were asked by pretty much everybody we met, from the mortgage broker to the realtor, where do you go to church, you know, and what is your faith? And we were like, you know, Len was raised Catholic. He was an altar boy. He, you know, wasn't a practice. He called himself a creaster. But he wasn't a practicing believer. And I kind of had loose belief, but I was like, you know, but I knew I wanted my kids to have faith, and I didn't know how to do it, and I didn't know where to begin. And we had asked Mrs. Lorette DeMoyle, I think her name was Monica, where she sent her kids to daycare or to school, because Madison was 3 at the time, Kaylin was in kindergarten, and she said her kids went to the CDC at Covenant, even though they went to Resurrection, but they sent their kids to CDC. So I went and checked out the CDC. It was an interesting experience for me on a lot of levels. I was looking for a school for Madison. I was kind of struggling with where I wanted to go to church or where to try to go to church. And Georgiana Smith gave us the tour that particular day. And it was just myself, Madison, my mom, and Georgiana. And we were getting a tour of the school. But as soon as we walked into the sanctuary, I felt at home. It was the most bizarre feeling I'd ever felt in my life. I was instantly, there was nobody there. You know, it was just being inside with the green carpet. You know, it was like, I didn't understand. It was a building. I hadn't even been to worship yet. I didn't even meet the people yet. And here I was, and I was just like, I felt at home. There's this peace that came over me. And we went that Sunday to worship at Covenant, and have not gone anywhere else, but I'll get into that. We did move away for a year. CB's mad at me still about that. So we went to Covenant, and Madison went to the CDC. There were times in the beginning where it was a little uncomfortable. The words preached and hearing it for the first time so convictedly. The Spirit was working in me. My relationship with people in the church grew. I was introduced to CB through David, who's like, oh, you're from New Jersey. You need to meet CB and Frank. At the time, also, Alicia Larson and John were there as well. And they were, well, Alicia was from Philadelphia. So I had the opportunity to grow in those relationships. And also my love of hymn music grew, which is, I heard him talk about music and how emotional attached to it. There's something about singing hymns in worship that from the very beginning has just been such a connection for me on so many levels. I don't ever go into an organ or no organ or whatever, but I love hymnody. I remember singing in Christ Alone, which we sang yesterday, one Sunday. We were singing a cappella, I think, with a guitar. We had guitars then. And just sobbing through the whole song. I still cry when I sing Christ Alone. It's just an endearing song to me. Before the throne of God, above, as well with my soul, numerous others I could name. I grew in my understanding of how people-pleasing ways and what that looked like in light of what God had designed for me. And I was so graciously introduced to a book called People Are Big and God Is Small, When People Are Big and God Is Small, and that book was huge in helping me to root out some of that sin. But 1 year later, after coming to Lakeland, Len got a job offer to go back to New Jersey. I was like, what? It was a very difficult thing because I was learning my role as a wife. I was learning what that meant. And my husband really wanted to try this job. And we thought, okay, we'll find a church. And, of course, we were really encouraged to find a church before we decided to move, which I kind of feel like we did, but maybe a little backwards. We had it vetted. Our church was vetted by our elder. It was Frank Campano at the time and David before we started the move back to New Jersey. But we moved back to New Jersey. And I remember crying some hard, ugly tears. It was really, really rough. We went back to New Jersey. We started attending an OPC church that was in Medford, New Jersey, which is sort of central South Jersey. It was a great church. The pastor there was from Westminster. He was a Westminster grad. His wife had gone to Westminster, theologically sound church, but it was small. It was a plant church from a church from Collingswood that they brought over to Medford to try to build that community. But everybody who attended that church came from all these other areas that were maybe 20, 30, 40 minutes away from this particular church. So the community there was much smaller than what I was used to at Covenant, and it was really a struggle for me. It was a very growing time for me, for sure. There were a lot of times on Sunday I would go home and just really struggle with the desire to go back to Florida. It was hard to rest to where God had me at that time and to just seek his will. Len was just like, oh, it'll get better. And it eventually did. There were some other things that kind of came up. I developed relationships. But in that particular area of New Jersey is very diverse in its religion. Especially in Medford, very large Jewish community, very large Catholic community. So outside of Sundays, I had no fellowship with believers. And that was hard for me as a new believer. I'd only been a believer for about a year. I skipped the part where I came to Faith at Covenant other than the feeling I had at church, but I grew at Covenant. So when I moved to New Jersey, that was really, really difficult for me, and I really relied a lot on the Lord in my life at that time. But I was not happy about being back in New Jersey. It was different. I grew up in New Jersey. I moved back to New Jersey after being a Christian. It just was different. I didn't know what to make of it. I was like, these are the same people I left, you know, but it just was different, and it was a struggle. We had several conversations with different people throughout the time, trying to figure out what it was, and we were still in contact with people at Covenant CB and David. I remember I told this story last night, and it's an endearing one for me just because it just kind of shows how much I missed the community at Covenant. David McWilliams had to go up to New Jersey he didn't have to, but he went up to New Jersey for an ordination service for a friend of his from theological seminary. And he was doing a reformation service at a church in Stratford, which wasn't far from where we live. So we thought we'd go visit and we'd say hi to him and go to the worship service. And I remember walking into the sanctuary area where there's like a vestibule before going into sanctuary, and there's all these people. I don't know who they are. They're all dressed in black robes, and you know, there's tons and tons of people. And all I hear from the corner of the room is, "My sheep," and I can't see him, but I knew who it was. And I just remember, just like, it's still to this day. I was just like, I don't know. I can't describe it. But that feeling, we followed his voice, but we sat under his preaching that day, and I went home, and I was like, I don't know, you know, I love being in New Jersey near our family, and I love our little OPC church, but my home was in Lakeland, and I just feel like I needed to go back there. So Len and I talked about it, we prayed about it, and what we realized the Lord was teaching us was a lot about community and how important that is when you're a believer. And we didn't quite understand it until after leaving it. So we went back to Florida, and a year after we moved back to New Jersey. Thankfully, in the Lord's providence and goodness to my husband, he worked for Medco at the time, which was a mail order pharmacy. They moved him each time. You know, and it was just, otherwise we wouldn't have been able to move as much as we did, but they moved him each time, which was amazing. So we've been back almost 15 years, minus the year we were in New Jersey. Returning to Florida, we were just thrilled to be back. But that's when I feel like the work really started for me. There was like kind of initial honeymoon period was over, but the real reality of the Christian walk really started to work in my life then. I struggled through some significant relational issues and some sin, and was really working with people in my life at the time to work some of those things out. Prayer became so much more tangible. The struggle of sin became so much more real. And the daily walk to mortify my sin and live for Christ more prominent. And that's all by the grace of God. I mean, he had brought me back and forth. You know, he'd taken me in all these different places. And then my girls got to be teens. And as you know, moms who've had teens, those years I was on my knees. You know, there were times where it was hard being a mom. The Lord has remained faithful even through them, you know, to me and growing me, but also in them and their growth as well. Madison is a freshman at Covenant College. She is a Scot. And Kaylin, who had some pretty difficult teen years, has been married 2 years to a young man that was brought into her life in the latter part of her high school years. That's been a relationship I would have not picked for her, but God did, and it's been wonderful to see the Lord work in their life despite me. So as I look back on my last 15 years, I'm reminded of the previous 25 years of the Lord's mercy and care to me despite my life, my family circumstances, my struggles. You know, I just remember the Lord's care despite my failures, my struggles, and the sins of others against me and my sin to others as well. Just praise be to God for his pursuing me, for bringing me to Lakeland and using Covenant as an instrument in opening my heart to him. And I'm just really thankful for the opportunity to share this with you. Like I said, it's not dramatic, but I'm reminded, someone had told me this story once at Spurgeon and used one of his sermons about the rug. And there's also something in there about the wheel I thought was really interesting as well. But I won't go into about the wheel, but if you ever look up his sermon on Providence, it's just such a neat sermon. But the latter part of the sermon, he's talking about a woman seeing this rug that was like ugly. She thought, it's so ugly. And she was looking at the back of it, you know. But he was like, no, you're not looking. It's beautiful. You need to look at the other side. And that's, you know, we see the messiness, we see the tangles, we see all these different things, the knots and the strings hanging off and all these things, but God sees this beautiful picture. You know, and when I get to heaven, I'll see how it all worked out, but right now I'm still just living by God's grace and seeing where he takes me next, which is hopefully not out of Florida, although I keep joking about going to Chattanooga, which CB says absolutely not. But thank you for letting me share my story with you.